If you are not grounded in this book as a believer, you can do a whole lot of unnecessary stuff in your life. You can waste a lot of time, spend a lot. I paid $80 for wiring stuff. I probably could have paid a guy to fix it for much less than that, because all it needed to do was some guy turn a wrench like 2.5 revolutions and it would have worked. And he'd probably charge me $20 and I'd have gone away happy and richer. $80 for me to crawl under there with my nice clothes and do all this and scratch my head and play another YouTube video and go back inside and buy another connector and then come back, watch another YouTube video. Julie's patiently writing in the car like, are we going? I mean, we're going to Columbus. I got to have my lights working. I spent a lot of unnecessary time, and you will too, if you are not grounded in this book. What does it mean to be grounded in this book? It means you open it reverently every day and you let it transform you. This book is alive. I read about 100 books a year. I love to read. This is the only living book I read. You need this book. It will transform you. God wants to use the Word of God through the work of the Spirit of God that indwells every believer to transform you into the image of the Son of God. God wants you to be grounded. Or you can do what most people do and waste your life trying to fix the misdiagnosed problem. You can go to every professional. They'll tell you, oh, it's this. It was your childhood. It was this. It was that. And sure, we all had rough childhoods. And you know what? I'm not saying don't deal with it. I mean, the wires did need to be replaced, but that wasn't, I could have gotten my elliptical a lot faster. I get the elliptical back here, and I'm all excited, and I plug it in. It doesn't work. That was a lot of work to get like a boat anchor. Yeah, it doesn't work. So I'm really discouraged by it. So I got on it and just tried to picture myself using it without the extra resistance. But I'm like, I could make this work if I mentally get over this. It's not as much as I wanted, but it's a privilege. Julie and I open the preschool most days at 7, and a lot of times we don't go home before 9. We're here a long time, and I tried to run before coming into work. She's like, honey, you don't have time. You should find a way to exercise at work. If I go out walking or running here, I get all sweaty. I decided if I get an elliptical or a rower, I could just stop for 5 minutes in my work, and I could stay fit. But it doesn't work. I'm like, oh man, this is a lot of work for a piece of junk. For 24 hours, I thought that, and I thought, I never looked for a. I wonder if there's a reset button. So I reached, I couldn't see because where the cord goes in is up against the wall in my office. I moved these metal shelves out here, and now I had some room. I'm like, oh, my office isn't totally congested. Let's put an elliptical in there. I reach around behind it. Wouldn't you know, there's this giant power switch. And when I flipped it, it made this big chink sound, and I looked up and the lights are on. And I have to say, I've enjoyed using the elliptical. I go 5 or 10 minutes at a time. Sometimes my computer is rendering something or whatever, I just get over there and power, or I'm listening to a radio broadcast. I've learned to listen to them because who knows what I say when I get up here. I don't know if I want to, that to be on the air. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I do, but I mean, it may not fit. If it's the World Series or something, it may not fit exactly. But so I'm listening to a radio program yesterday, and I'm working out. I'm so happy because this thing was working. I'm like, okay, good. Things are kind of coming together here. But I thought for 24 hours that it wasn't working. I believed a lie, and it made me discouraged. Christian, I don't know what the problem is in your life. I'm not saying there is one, but if you're a human being, I'm pretty sure you got a couple dozen of them. It could be that you're not grounded in the Word of God. It could be that you just haven't flipped the switch on yet. You got all the stuff, but it didn't turn it on. You know how you flip the switch on in the Christian life? You simply trust that Christ died for your sins and rose again. Because then what happens is now you have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you, and now you can do all sorts of stuff you couldn't do before. It has resistance levels 1 through 20, and they conveniently put a little 20 button on the right end, and so I just hop on now and hit the 20 because I want as much resistance in as short a time as possible. And so I could go at top resistance for 5 minutes before, you know, breathing heavy and breaking a sweat. Now it's like 20 seconds. This is hard. Apparently I'm getting older. Apparently I needed an elliptical that worked, that gave me extra resistance. Apparently I needed that. You know, resistance in the Christian life isn't a bad thing. God brings resistance into your life so that you will trust Him. God coordinates many obstacles that you and I face so that we'll stop depending on us and start depending on Him. Don't get mad when God turns the resistance all the way up to max. Don't get mad. Get grounded in the Word of God. You need it. I need it. Don't waste a lot of time misdiagnosing and fixing problems that don't exist. Fix what the problem that is there. Somebody asked me this week if I still do counseling at the church, and I said, well, what do you mean? We do our addictions recovery program on Friday nights, and they said, well, no, that's not what I mean. Early on I had more time in the church, and I was happy just to schedule an hour. We could talk about whatever is going on, and I'm happy to now if necessary, but I said 90% of my counseling is in the pulpit. Because then the truth is, all of us need the Word of God. Get grounded. If you haven't trusted Christ, flip the switch. Turn it on. We want everybody in this community to become 100% sure they have eternal life. We at least want them to know how they can be 100% sure. You can't make anybody do anything. I grew up with two brothers, and using headlocks and other things, we tried to make each other do things. A person convinced against their will is of the same opinion. Still, the gospel is powerful as you share it. God does the saving. You don't. Isn't that a relief? It's just your job to share the gospel, to help people turn the switch on. They may have gone to all this trouble to go to the far side of Columbus and pick up an elliptical and bring it back, and they think, I'm finally going to get my life together. And if the power is off, it won't work. Many people are trying to live the Christian life in their own strength. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And I'm so glad that He gives us His power. Not only this did He say, He said, here's another place that He said He has all the power. Let's turn to the last two verses of Matthew. Last two verses of Matthew in the Bible. So there's the Old Testament and the New Testament. The first book of the New Testament is Matthew. And we go to the last two verses. Let's go to verse 18, which is the third from the last. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, how much? All power. You do not have power in your Christian life to fix anything that's broken. Even if you're not a Christian, you don't have any power. But as a Christian, you don't have any power unless you're relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. So maybe you've trusted Christ, you have the power switch on, but you haven't engaged the controls up on the top, and you're not relying on the Lord. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. You may not feel comfortable sharing the gospel with other people. That's why you back up to verse 18 and you realize, I don't want to do it in my power, I'm going to do it in His. As you share the gospel in the power that God gives you, it's not your power, it's clearly not your power. It's a privilege. I wasted so much time this week misdiagnosing problems, thinking lies were true. Maybe you're a little like me. Maybe you don't want to waste any more time and stop. Maybe you want to stop believing lies. It makes a big, big difference. Yesterday, we went to an event in Columbus. Last night, got back late. But on the way there, we stopped didn't go into Crumble Cookie, but we did see Crumble Cookie and saw a line out the door. In fact, I took a picture of Crumble Cookie and the line out the door. And you're shaking your head, no, we don't have a picture of Crumble Cookie and the line out the door. Those words were supposed to be magical and the picture was supposed to appear on the screen, but the best laid plans, right? So how many of you have ever eaten Crumble Cookie? Ooh, okay. I have had a couple bites of Crumble Cookie. Somebody bought them. I wouldn't pay for them, but somebody else paid for them. They're very expensive. They're delicious. And they have a cult following. I mean, people that like Crumble Cookie really like Crumble Cookie. In fact, they're willing to wait in line for apparently hours to get Crumble Cookie. You know what blew my mind? I was hoping when I came back to church this morning, I'd see a line out the door of people here to get, not to pay for a cookie that will be gone in 12 hours, if you know what I mean, but to get the free gift of eternal life. And there wasn't a line out the door. If it makes me sad, how must it grieve the heart of God that human beings don't want the greatest gift that's offered to anybody? And that is the free gift of eternal life. It's still our job to tell them how to get it. You know the words. We practiced them earlier twice. Get your fingers out. And Charlene has only got one working hand. She's going to use the hand sort of twice. Oh, here's Crumble Cookie. A line. I mean, they'll wait for a cookie that they have to pay like a mortgage payment for. But most people don't want Jesus. Do you know why? Because this is a spiritual battle and Satan's blinding the minds of people who are lost and they don't think they need Jesus. But what the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. As you share the gospel, the light can break through. It's not your job to save them. It's your job to share the gospel. What is the gospel? Get your fingers ready. Here we go. Christ died for our sins and rose again. He did that for us. Let's look at John 3:16. Let's say it together, could we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow, he died for everybody? Yes. Whose job is it to tell them? Ours. Then we look at Adam and Eve and we say, you guys had a simple job, just don't eat the fruit. You could have still been in paradise. I mean, I grew up wanting to punch Adam in the face, you know? Until I realized, whoa, I'd have done the same thing because I'm a human being. I made a couple mistakes myself, you know? And I realized, whoa, I would have done the same thing. And now, I don't know what my old nature will be gone when I see him anyway, so it doesn't matter what I plan to do. I'll probably just hug him, you know? It wouldn't have been nice if they hadn't created this whole mess, but they did. But we look at them and say, man, it wasn't hard. There wasn't much. We could look at our situation and say, it's not much. You got the free gift of eternal life and you just didn't want to share it with somebody? I mean, Adam and Eve are probably ready to punch me in the face when I get to heaven. Like, why didn't you just share the gospel with somebody? He won't because he has a new nature, so I'm not worried. Heaven's going to be great. In heaven, there's going to be no political parties. And that's going to be great. I'm conservative. I love, you know why I'm conservative? Because the Bible says that killing babies is wrong. And the Bible says that, I mean, it says some other things and whatever, I'm going to vote for whoever is going to stick up for this word the most. So pretty straightforward. But Jesus is going to rule and reign on David's throne in Jerusalem. We didn't get to Revelation today. Y'all come back next week. Satan's going to get kicked out of heaven in our passage next week. Now, that's like a whoop whoop for the good team, right? He is going to get his clock clean. He's going to get cast into the lake of fire eventually. But in our passage, the midpoint of the tribulation next week, Satan gets kicked out of heaven. Right now, we're fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we're powerless to fight without flipping the power switch on. Trust that Christ died for your sins and rose again. And then stay grounded in the Word of God. You need it. I need it. You can't live the Christian life without it. If you do flip the power switch on, you trust Christ, and you stay grounded in the Word of God, you're going to maybe care about souls as much as God did. God the Son died so people could trust Christ. Are you willing to cross the street to tell somebody? This is no guilt. This is no guilt. This is just laying it out like it is. It's very simple. We have a privilege. Let's do what God called us to do. It's not hard, but it takes discipline. But anything in life, there's nothing worth doing in life that's not hard. Turn the power switch on and rely on the power of Christ. This isn't you doing it in your own strength. It's you. I mean, I could have pushed that. What a waste of time it would have been for me to be on that elliptical without any resistance. And I was getting ready to like, okay, I'll just go to plan B here. It wouldn't have done me any good. I'd have still looked spindly. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't have worked. Actually, I want to look spindly. That's why I got the elliptical. Obeying Christ is really simple. You get grounded enough to Him, you'll start caring about what He cares about, and it'll be natural. If you can't keep it in, you got to let it out. If you start loving Jesus at the foot of the cross so much that you don't care who knows you're in love, that's the way to share the gospel. Don't do it because like my pastor said I have to, but I just hate this. No, go to the foot of the cross. Let Jesus get so grounded after you turn the switch on that you can't help but tell somebody what Jesus did. He died. I've been to the hill where He died. He was buried. I've been in the tomb, in the coffin where He was buried. He's risen again. He's the creator of the universe. He made everything. He holds everything together. He's coming again soon. He's the King. And you will not regret being obedient to the Lord. The first thing He wants you to do is flip a switch on. Simply trust that Christ died for your sins and rose again. If you never have, please do it right here, right now. If you have done it, spend time at the foot of the cross. What I mean by that is think about Jesus dying for you and how little you deserve it and how much He gave everything for you so that your heart is soft toward the other person beside you that doesn't know it yet but also needs what Jesus did. Trust Him and then let Him build in you a passion to take that message to the lost. That's our job as Christians. We're going to do it through the Wild Game Dinner on Saturday, and I believe God's going to have every seat full, and He's going to use you to do it. Because there's a whole world out there that needs Jesus. I believe in you guys. It's a lot of work, a lot of resistance. We're not going to let resistance stop us. The world needs Jesus more than we need to be comfortable. It's not comfortable to take the world to the gospel to the lost, but it's necessary. And it's a privilege we get to do it. You guys are awesome. Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for what You did on the cross for us. Thank you. You did all the heavy lifting. You did all the hard work. You died. You paid for all the sin. We just have the privilege of taking it the last mile. You brought it a million miles from heaven, and we just have to carry it the last mile. What a privilege. You made it all possible. We get to work together for the salvation of the lost. Thank You. Thank You for that privilege. Thank You. You're so good. Thank You for letting us work together with You for the greatest mission ever, and that's the salvation of one soul. Thank You. Thank You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.